Get ready, get comfy for the next Nonprofit Insider Podcast episode.
All right, welcome in everyone to a special episode of the Nonprofit Insider Podcast. Listen, I've been hinting at this for a long time. I had a special guest coming up. And listen, if you're going to have a special guest, you got to start local. And we are joined today, Victor Lopez. Victor is the founder and executive director of Learner's Chess Academy, a 501c3 nonprofit organization based right here in Albuquerque, New Mexico. Originally started in 2010, Learner's Chess is officially a staple in the community. You all are doing some really amazing things, and we are glad to welcome Victor to the show. Victor, how are you, man? How are things?
I'm doing really well. Thanks for having me on your show.
Yeah, absolutely. Listen, you knew I told you like a couple months ago, I said, I got to get you on the show. I wanted to fulfill my promise. Right. And so listen, let's start from the beginning. A lot of people may not know Learner's Chess, even the folks that are here in Albuquerque. Tell us about the mission, the goal of Learner's Chess, and what even inspired you to start this organization?
Yeah, well, I fell in love with chess when I was a kid, and my mom and I actually started coaching a chess club when I was in middle school, the Bandelier Bear Chess Club. And to me, as formidable as it was to get into chess, it was that experience of coaching that chess club with my mom that really had the most formidable impact on my life. And then, you know, I went away to college in California and got involved in some other nonprofit work as a community organizer, and then came back home and started thinking about what kind of nonprofit like that was ideal for me, because I got kind of disillusioned, you know, with the whole model of like your funder tells you what to do and then you go try to community organize in a community that maybe or maybe not jives with that. And so I got into like social business, and I tried to actually start a different group that would do microfinance for energy efficiency upgrades.
Oh yeah, like micro lending, right?
Yeah. And so I was trying to kind of figure that out, but I had no business background, so I went to business school, and then on the side I was substitute teaching, and I got kind of roped into coaching a chess club because that's what I did when I was young.
Hey, yeah.
And man, I just fell in love with it again. I was spending all my free time like thinking of good new lessons for the kids. And then during the summer, I started a little summer program as a side project, and it just started growing, and parents asked for after school programs, and yeah, it just kind of like developed a life of its own. So that's kind of how it got started. And now, our mission is to use chess as a developmental tool to help kids develop intellectually, socially, and then for the kids who really want to stick with it, their leadership skills, so they can be successful, in whatever other realms that they pursue.
Oh, wow. See, that's pretty neat, yeah. And you know, one of the things is, I want to talk a little bit more about, like, because you're working with kids that kind of seems to be, like, the primary target, but I want to get into some of the ways you approach the work. Because your target audience, even though it is kids, sometimes it can feel like it's parents too, right? Maybe members of the community. Right. I know you just had, like you said, you just had this really big event. Right. We were talking before we started the podcast here. You had this really big event like a couple of Sundays ago. So I'm curious to learn more about the structure of a Learner's Chess, because you're not open like 5 days a week or anything. Mm-hmm. Like, that's not like you start at 9 and you close at 6 or anything like that. How many employees do you have, and how do you determine when you're open, when you're working, those types of things?
Yeah, so we basically structure it around the school year. So like APS is the main district that we kind of organize around, because that's the most after school programs we have are in APS schools. And so we do single day camps when the schools are not in session, and then when they are, you know, we do after school or before school clubs, and then summer with the week-long camps. And yeah, it's grown. It used to be just me, you know, running around 14 clubs before school. After school, I'd do two different clubs and then, you know, do all the camps and do everything. And it's slowly grown. You know, we got Coach Trevor, Coach Caleb, mm-hmm. and Coach Bryce now. So we've got 4 full-time okay. employees, including myself. And then a number of kind of part-time seasonal employees who do different things with us, and a number of volunteers as well. So, as much as we've been able to attract like good chess coaching talent who's bought into our mission, as much as we've been able to grow.
Wow. Wow. You know, and I'm glad you mentioned that volunteers piece, because I'm such a nerd. You know, I went online, I looked at your tax returns, you know, and I said, let me look at this 990. And your organization says it has 15 volunteers from your 2021 990 tax report. You know, I thought that was interesting because I have a backdrop. My backdrop is nonprofit volunteerism. Right. So what are your volunteers even doing in addition to, like, the employees?
Well, we have a few board members, and those are, of course, volunteer, but our main volunteers are actually high school age kids who come and volunteer in the program during the summer or even during the after school programs as assistant coaches. And a lot of times that leads to employment opportunities for them. And then we have had, and we want to continue this. It hasn't been a regular thing, but we have this program called Learners Without Borders, where we take our, the high school volunteers who are going to do it. They organize basically a service trip abroad. And so we've been to El Salvador twice, and we've been to Kenya once, and we're hopefully going to go to Mexico maybe this year. And the high schoolers do the fundraising, and they've learned enough about our model of coaching chess that they bring it to these communities. They bring chess sets, some chess shirts, and they recruit the teachers to be involved so that they can kind of plant a seed of, like, loving chess and using chess as a developmental tool in these different communities. And so, there's a lot of different ways that people volunteer with our program.
Really?
Yeah.
Really? I didn't know that.
Yeah. Yeah. It's been sporadic. The last time we went was right before COVID. We went to Kenya. Wow. Like, a month before COVID.
No way. Yeah. Holy smokes. Yeah, you know, that's actually pretty interesting. I didn't know that about the volunteers and working with young people and high schoolers serving as a key part. That's such a great, like, way to bring about community and kind of siphoning through and having all types of people kind of go through your program. That's pretty cool.
Yeah. I mean, like I said, it was transformative for me to run my own club, have that responsibility, have to come up with the ways to, you know, to tailor to my specific group of learners. And so, you know, I'm really honored that, like, a lot of our coaches now are former students who've gone through that volunteer program, and now some of them are paid coaches, some of them are still going through that program as well.
Wow. And you're not going from high school or school to school after school. You're not doing, because you've got a good team now around you, so you're not ripping and running.
No, I used to do that. That's how it started, and it was a grind for sure to start, but as we've cultivated all this talent around me, like, yeah, I'm able to kind of sit back a little bit more, coach a couple clubs here and there, which I still love doing. It's still my favorite part, but you know, I'm also running the organization and making the big decisions and stuff like that.
Well, you know, and that's something I wanted to talk about because, yeah, when you're serving as the executive director, the founder, you've seen the highs, you've seen the lows, you've done pretty much everything in your organization. How do you, as that executive director, how do you measure success for your organization? Is it like, my son can now beat me in chess? Or like what's the definition of success in your mind when you're running an organization?
Well, you know, a lot of, like, chess programs around the country that I look at, they post pictures of their kids with their trophies and their first place, and they have this many champions. And you know, we have that kind of stuff too. But for us, it's about the volume of kids that we work with and the quality of instruction and the retention rate of kids. A lot of chess programs, you know, kids try it out and, oh, maybe it's their thing, maybe not. For us, we can't really afford for it, you know, to just go run through kids. If a kid comes to us interested in chess, we want to treat that interest very delicately and keep them engaged.
Wow, that's interesting.
So that they can, even if it's just, you know, even if it's just going from rot beginner to, you know, like, beginner plus, there's a lot of, like, there's a lot of development and a lot of, like, benefits that child will get from the program. And so for us, that's where we measure success more than just kids performing well at tournaments. If anything, you know, kids performing well at a tournament is a credit to them for sticking with it.
Sticking with it. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, that's something I was very curious about. And, you know, I'm curious, like, kids-wise, right? Mm-hmm. Are you talking, like, are you seeing, like, 100 kids at a time? Are you seeing 300 kids at a time? What does that even look like in terms of how many children are really going through your program?
Yeah, well, right now we have about 1,500 in the after-school program and camps. But, like, each club is anywhere from 15 to 30 kids and their coach. So, yeah, it really varies.
Wow. And that 1,500, does that feel like a good amount? Like, when you close your eyes at night, do you like that number? 1500?
I mean, to me, every kid in New Mexico should have the opportunity to learn how to play chess. So if we can at some point change the culture in a way that we want to put it in the schools, I think, you know, if every second and third grader had to learn chess in the school, that would be a tremendous benefit to the state. I think that would raise our test scores after a generation. Yeah. You know, and I think in middle school it'd be a great elective opportunity. Or, you know, I've seen other programs where chess is kind of almost like the detention, right? Well, okay, you either go to detention or you have to join the chess club, and the chess coach is given a little bit of power to, you know, to use that child's development through chess as an alternative to disciplining them.
I mean, because a lot of people don't know how to play chess. My girlfriend, we only started playing chess because my son, he's going through your program, right. So he's like, he wants to battle me.
Right.
And I'm like, listen, you can't keep playing me all the time. So now he's playing my girlfriend, but she didn't know how to play chess. Right. And so a lot of people, you said, you feel like would benefit just from learning the game as a whole.
Yeah, and a lot of people have. I mean, even some of my coaches, they come in interested in the program. They're maybe not great at chess, but they get a lot better at chess through having the job. And then they tell me, like, dang, things are clicking in ways that they never imagined before. They're thinking more clearly. So, yeah, I think learning and developing through chess could benefit anybody.
Yeah, I think I learned chess. My mom's boyfriend growing up, he taught me how to play chess when I was 8 or 9 or something like that. And it stuck with me forever. Nice. It's one of those things where 35, I could stop today, and at the age of 60, you know the moves and all the thinking behind it. I want to ask you a little bit of a question here, because we're going to talk about different aspects. People can support what you all are doing at Learner's Chess. But I got to ask about costs here, because people are always like, oh, I don't know, can I send my kid to chess camp? You all, from my point of view, make it pretty affordable. Like, what's the rundown of if people want to be able to participate, but their economy's tough right now and inflation? Give us some insights on that.
Yeah, sure. So, you know, we sort of operate like a small business in that a lot of our programming is fee-based. But we did make the intention of being a nonprofit because we wanted to make it accessible. So we do set the pricing in a way that we think is affordable. And sometimes there's an opportunity and parents will throw on an additional donation.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And then as well, we have the need-based scholarship fund. So a lot of parents will just fill out an application and pretty much whatever they ask for, we're able to award that scholarship so their kids can attend the program. And you know, I just got a call from a parent last fall. And she wanted to make sure that her donation was going to go to Learner's Chess because she was donating through United Way, through her work and all that.
Yeah.
And she told me a story of how her son came through our need-based scholarship program back in, like, you know, 2011, 12, and 13. And, you know, she credited chess for really turning his life around because he was not doing well in school. And now he's about to graduate from, you know, like, some big tech school and go to grad school, and she now has a job at Sandia, and so she wants to make a donation to give back to what we did. And so, yeah, you know, it's stories like that that really kind of fuel us to keep making sure that the program is widely accessible to all kids.
Wow, we could honestly just stop right there. I mean, wow, what that's a great imagery of, yeah. like I said, coming full circle all those years later. I'm sure that was one of those moments you're just like, yeah. That's cool.
Yeah, completely out of the blue phone call, and it just totally, yeah, it like made my year to just hear that one story. You know, I was like, yes, what we're doing really, really is impactful, and you know, validated all the belief that we have in it.
Listen, I want to get into some more questions here right after the break. We're going to take a quick little pause, and then we're going to come on back. I was on Instagram earlier in the week and I saw a post from someone I followed that said, starting on March 10th, the sun will set after 7 p.m. in New Mexico and stay that way until October. And I was like, what? That's amazing. I mean, after a long winter, even though it's feel like a warmer winter than normal, I'm like, yeah, I love that. Sun going down later, warmer weather. But even with warmer weather, I still like a good cup of tea. And that's where my friends at artoftea.com come into place. They have an amazing collection of teas for all types of occasions. Birthdays, graduations. Look, Mother's Day is going to be here before we know it. You need to check them out. Go in the show notes, artoftea.com. If you follow me on Instagram or TikTok, you always see me with my nonprofit insider cup. And inside of it, it's tea from artoftea.com. So go be sure to check them out. Go to the show notes. We have a special 10% off link in the show notes.
Thanks for sponsoring all the amazing things we do here at the Nonprofit Insider Podcast. All right, let's get back to the show.
All right, we're back. And listen, we have some more questions for you, Victor. We're not letting you off that easy because I think the audience is really picking up on what you're dropping here. Real fast, because we'll talk about it at the end, of course. If people want to learn more about Learner's Chest, where should they go? Where's the website? All that jazz.
Yeah, so our website's learnerschest.org. And there you could apply to get involved as a coach or a volunteer. You could make some contributions to our need-based scholarship fund. If we get that Learners Without Borders trip going, which is still kind of being organized, but that'll be featured there. Or if you want to sign kids up or buy a gift card for a different child, that all those kinds of opportunities are there on our website.
All right. Go to learnerschest.org or .com?
.org.
Go to learnerschest.org. You think I would know because I'm on the website all the time stalking you. Listen, you're doing great stuff, right? Yeah. And I can hear it in your voice. Like, you love chess, you love the passion, you're working with a great team, you got some great coaches. Shout out to other coaches out there, Trevor, Caleb, I always forget the
Rice.
Rice, yeah. Shout out to them. They're always really good. But there's gotta be some challenges, right? I mean, you've been doing this for some time now. What are some of the biggest challenges that people on the outside might not think about when they go, oh, learn chess, it's all fun and smiles, but there's some things that are happening, right?
I mean, yeah, you know, like any nonprofit's going to face challenges. For us, you know, last year when the school district changed the way they do their schedules, that really presented a big challenge for us of like, they used to have some schools get out at 2 p.m., some schools get out at 3:45, mm-hmm. and some schools start at 9. So our coaches could coach three clubs a day. And this year, that's not the case. Most schools don't start too early to do it before school club. And they only get out either at 2:30 or 3, so we can't really layer the clubs anymore. So we, you know, that presented a lot of problems and challenges. And, you know, we've been able to get creative and get out into some more school districts where the hours are a little bit different and just to make it work. But luckily, the program also is so popular that even in those schools, it's getting big enough that, you know, we can still make everything work.
Absolutely. And APS, he's talking about when he says APS, Albuquerque Public Schools. Right. So, yeah, they're a big part, you know, figuring out, like, what's their schedule, their summer breaks and all that stuff. So I've been there for sure. You know, one of the things that I was really attracted to with Learner's Chest, pretty much after that first time that my son ended up going there, I walked in and I was like, there are a lot of guy coaches in here. I'm like, you're there, Coach Trevor's there, Coach Caleb, and I'm like, I'm looking around, and I'm seeing, like, a lot of, you know, young men and women, too, but I'm seeing, like, a lot of young boys and girls. I'm like, oh, this is really nice, and for me, it's been really nice seeing my son go to your club, or go to Learner's Chest, because he is around other mentors that are just men, like yourself, so I can't be the first one to comment on that, right? Sure. I mean, are other people picking up on this?
Yeah, I mean, it's not something that we're intending to be like a male role model type of organization. You know, we want to find gender balance in our leadership, in our staff. It is a little harder with chess. It happens more men are interested in the job and interested in the game. But, you know, and we're trying to change that. We're you know, we offer discounts for girls and stuff like mm-hmm. that. But you're not the first. A lot of teachers a few parents have kind of come to us and said, no. We really like that there's so many men who are like upstanding and respectful and good people, and they're good role models because a lot of what their kids experience in the education system is women mentors and teachers, which is beautiful.
Yeah, absolutely.
But also, you know, now when they come to Learner's Chest, they get a little bit of balance on that. And, you know, I'm really glad that that's the case.
Yeah, I'm all with it. I know for a while I was interested in taking my son to do like ballet classes, mm-hmm. and one of the things one of the local ballet shops here they have is 50% off for little boys.
Oh,
because you know they're getting, you know, traditionally they're getting a lot of young girls and things like that, and so we went to one class. He just didn't really like the dancing and stuff like that, but yeah, offering discounts and things like that. Like
that's
you said,
brilliant. Yeah.
getting a lot of young girls and young women into it for sure, and it's like one of those games where, I mean, it doesn't have to be based around gender or anything like that. It's just you're playing the game. You're having fun.
No, yeah. I mean, one of the parents recently was telling me, like, I really appreciate that my daughter can come here and social class, like how she's dressed, anything, all the pressure she has at her middle school are completely dissipated because the whole relationship that she develops with kids is around this game of chess, and you know, and her ideas are just as respected and validated as anybody else's. And so, you know, yeah, chess is a beautiful game like that. It really breaks down barriers.
And you have a son now.
I do. Yeah, I do. Yeah. Little 3-month-old Nicholas.
Yeah, 3-month-old Nicholas. And I'm sitting here, I'm thinking, I'm like, you know what? Because I asked my son most recently, I was like, hey, you know, you want to do like learner's chess this summer? And he's like, yeah, but I don't want to do it quite as much. I said, okay, that's totally fine. There's a lot of options. Yeah,
you don't
want to
do too much chess.
Yeah, I'll do it forever. But if your son comes to you, Coach Victor, he says, listen, Dad, you've taught me all the games of chess. I don't want to play this game anymore. You're going to like drop him off in the forest and leave him there.
No, I mean, he'll get a lot of opportunities to learn the game and play as much as he wants. But, you know, if he's more into painting or you know, any other extracurricular, like, that's what I encourage. And sometimes parents tell me, well, my kid's more into this. And I say, yeah, take him to that. Like, when a child's passionate about something, like, you're lucky. If you're a parent and your child has found their passion, feed that passion. And if Nicholas is into painting, maybe he'll start Learner's Painting Academy someday, and that's okay with me.
Wow. See, and that's why we love sending our kids to you, Coach Victor. You've got such a great mindset and such a good appreciation. Just sending people down passions and things that they're interested in, and it reverberates all throughout Learner's Chess. Again, go to learnerschess.org. They've got some good stuff here. How can people support what you're doing? We know we could send our kids there, but are there other ways? Can people volunteer? What's the deal?
Yeah, you can sign up to volunteer or coach or, you know, start as a volunteer and become a coach. I mean, to me, that's the best thing you can do is give of yourself. If you love chess and you love kids and you want to help them develop, you know, we need you once a week, right? If you're free on Thursday afternoons and, you know, you can carve that out of your schedule, come volunteer. We'll put you in a club for Thursday afternoons. Once you're trained up, we'll start a club on Thursday afternoons in your neighborhood, and you know, you'll make a huge difference. But aside from that, you know, you can make a donation on our website at learnerschess.org and help fund us to keep doing this great work.
Absolutely. And one of the things I want to get into, we're going to talk about a nonprofit horror story real quick. I'm excited about this. But one of the things I really, really love that you all do is you do, during the summers, you go to the downtown park. It's a part of the farmer's market. Yeah. Every other week you're there. Just real fast, tell us about that program that you all do in the summer here in Albuquerque.
I'm glad you brought that up. It's we call it our Chess in the Park program. Mm. And at first, it was kind of just a project coming out of COVID to kind of re-engage with the community. And we were going to different parks, different markets, different this. But we really found kind of a really good space in the downtown growers market. They meet every Saturday morning starting in, I think, mid-April. And they've got a great market, ton of vendors. They have live music. They have projects for kids. They have yoga. And then, you know, they brought us in, or they accepted us in. And so every first and third Saturday, starting in May, we'll be at the farmer's market. We'll have our giant chess set. We'll have a bunch of chess tables. Our coaches will all be there. And it's free for anybody to come. You know, you don't have to pay. You don't have to sign up. Just come sit down and play some chess or learn about our organization. It kind of also serves as our office hours. A lot of parents will come just to talk about their kid or anything like that. And, you know, it's a really special time. And we have a good shady spot. So,
I do appreciate that. Every time I go, I'm like, they've got some really good shade. So you got a really good setup there. Yeah. So that'll be started in May of 2024. I always go to the farmer's market. And I'm always like, let's go play some chess and things like that. And so he wants to play Bug House and all these other
games. Bug House is a tandem chess variant. So it's like doubles for tennis. That's like what chess, Bug House is for chess.
I freaking love it. Yeah. I freaking love it. Well, listen, we want to get you out of here, right? You've given us some really good insights, but we're not going to let you go unless we get a horror story. Sure, and that's one of my favorite parts because, listen, we love one of the things here at Nonprofit Insider. There's just so many beautiful aspects to the nonprofit space, but there are some moments where things can get a little bit funky. Not always bad, but a little funky. So you have a nonprofit horror story for us.
I do. I have a couple, actually. You know, more than one, but... Actually, COVID was a real big deal for us, you know. We were, like, it came right as we were about to do our big annual tournament, which, you know, we were on pace to keep growing that tournament, so we were getting ready to do another big one. And, you know, and then COVID started happening, and we had to cancel that tournament, and then we had to cancel our programs and our camps, and, you know, we started trying to develop the program online, but, I mean, I couldn't even give it away. Parents their children were on the internet all day for school. So then I'm asking them, well, keep them on for another hour and come and play chess. And they just weren't having it. They, some of them, God bless them, would send us $100 and say, here, I hope you make it, but my kid's not going to be back until you can come in person. And, you know, so that was really, really scary time for us. We weren't sure whether we were going to make it or not, but luckily there was a lot of government assistance and we qualified for a lot of it. And so we're kind of able to make it through that way. And then, you know, Queen's Gambit came out. So I think a lot of parents, not like the kids watched that show, but a lot of parents, I think, watched it. So they're more suggestive or more appreciative of what we're doing. And then just the online, like streaming and like just playing chess online became kind of a big thing during COVID. And so, coming out of COVID, it was just like a cannonball, you know. We just started growing immediately, and it was for about a year. It was just me and Trevor just running everything, running around town, coaching 14 clubs each, and wow. and eventually, you know, we started being able to grow out our staff more, and ultimately, luckily, we're doing good now. But yeah, had another funny horror story way back in the day, though.
Well, wait a minute, you can't tease us like that. You gotta drop it.
Yeah. All right. So, I was looking at your Instagram when you're talking about cheapness and nonprofits. Uh-oh. And we were really cheap. When we started, of course, we were trying to like pinch every penny. And someone donated a bunch of Crown Royal bags for the chess set. And so I was running around to all my chess clubs and all the chess pieces were in Crown Royal bags. And one day a principal got really upset at us, like, why you got Crown Royal bags, you know, advertising alcohol in our school and stuff like that. And so that kind of like, you know, I never gave it a second thought, but it really kind of forced me to be like, oh, she's exactly right. And so I had to quickly order some new chess bags and transfer everything over. And so, you know, a lot of funny things like that can come up from time to time.
I appreciate you sharing that. Because, yeah, I think in those moments, you're just like, you're just trying to make do, right? And right. Those Crown Royal bags, listen, we've all had a Crown Royal bag at some point in our lives. But yeah, showing up in school probably was like, oh, okay, so you pivoted. So if you have any Crown Royal bags, don't donate them to Learner's Chest. But if you have some proper bags, be sure to donate to Learner's Chest. Listen, real fast, because Richter, we loved having you on the show. One more time, give us a rundown. If people want to learn more about Learner's Chest, donate, support, all of those things. Where should they go?
Okay, so go to our website, learnerschess.org, or come on out to Chess in the Park. A lot of people, that's their first point of contact with us. And you know, come meet us and learn about what we do.
Absolutely. Well, listen, we are going to be blasting this everywhere. This is such a great episode. Love having you here, Coach Richter. Really appreciate it. Go to Learner's Chess. Learn more about the things that they do. Listen, I am biased because I've sent my son there. I need to give them some donations myself because they're doing some high-level stuff here in the city of Albuquerque. Coach Richter, we'll see you again.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me.
Absolutely. You were saying you did something with the White House? Or?
Yeah, so back in 2016, I was kind of looking at the program like, oh man, we don't really pat ourselves on the back. And so I put out a press release just kind of saying, oh, this is Learner's Chess, this is what we're doing. And that led to a lot of recognition, including getting recognized as a champion of change by the Obama administration White House. And
really?
Me and my wife got to travel to Washington, D.C. and go tour the White House and sit on a panel and just be recognized for the summer learning opportunities that we're providing in our community. And that same year we also got recognized as the Spirit of New Mexico Award winners, which is an award that they give out annually for just like good stories that are happening throughout the year in New Mexico. So,
oh, dang.
So yeah, it's kind of cool that we've had opportunities to be recognized, and I consider being on the nonprofit inner just as much of a special recognition, so thank you very
listen,
much.
Listen, I don't know if you just called me Barack Obama, but listen, I'll take it. Your words, not mine. I mean, that's pretty cool, though. Dang, that's really sweet. Yeah. That's got to be a good feeling, man.
Oh, it was awesome. It was really cool.